All right, let's turn our attention to our next guest. One of the things that's been quite difficult, obviously, to stomach during the lockdown is, on a personal level, the cabin fever of being indoors. That's something that has a range of privileges depending on the space that you have, the number of people that you live with. But it can only be exacerbated by a commitment that you may have made, for better or for worse, to somebody, particularly if you are not necessarily formally married and you've found yourselves having to live together. How do you deal with the strain, and what is your experience so far if you are in a partnership where you were made to live together, and the strain of a fear of a pandemic, the anxiety about work, the concerns about financial costs are all burdening you and impacting the way that that plays out in your relationship. Now, yesterday in our emerging economy, speaking to Professor Lyle White on Brazil and Latin America, he happened to indicate that some 44,000 divorces have actually been registered just in the second half of 2020 in Brazil. And I'd be curious to hear exactly how that plays out here in South Africa. Dr. Stephanie Sieberhagen is joining us to help us understand how lockdown has impacted relationships in South Africa. Welcome to the show, Doctor. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Rafiwe. Thank you very much.
Have you got a sense? I mean, it might be a little early at this stage, but do you have a sense more or less of whether divorce rates went up in 2020?
No, I was actually chatting to your producer yesterday, and we were just confirming that we don't have any stats available in South Africa. So number-wise, definitely not.
Okay, but you might have a sense from an anecdotal perspective, without obviously breaching any patient confidentiality. Are you able to give us a sense of which way conversations are going? Are you hearing more from couples? Is lockdown really impacting how people interrelate?
Definitely. You know, I think it's completely unavoidable. I mean, I love Jonathan Swift's Gulliver Travels. And, you know, in that story, Lemuel Gulliver actually doesn't just visit Lilliput, which is the one people always remember. He goes to Brobolingnag, where he's the little person and he's surrounded by giants. And he's completely repulsed because he sees these giants up close. You know, he actually sees the pores on their faces and the sweat pouring out. And I just think it's an absolutely beautiful metaphor to say what happens to us when we see things up close and personal, which, of course, is exactly what happened during lockdown. Instead of having a bit of mystique with our partners and a little bit of magic and a bit of something that was hidden and far away from us, it was all just very much up close.
So this is an interesting one, because I have a range of friends, some who were in early parts of the relationship, and of course, 21 days feels like a getaway, right? When we first heard about it at the end of March. And so they decided, you know, actually, let's try this thing. And suddenly you go from first date to leaving the door open in the bathroom very quickly, and all the romanticism goes away. And some people did this across countries, you know, left, you know, saw that their countries were going to lock down and decided to stay with a summer romance, let's say. But let's talk a little bit more about the ones with greater longevity, I suppose, or that are a little bit more established. Let's say I've been in a marriage for 10, 15 years. I've heard from marriage counselors in the past that we all, even the most, no matter how much we love a person, there's always some kind of an escape hatch that one has. It could be golf, it could be the office, it could be your girlfriends. And what happens when that escape hatch is taken away from you, even in the most adoring relationship?
Yeah, I think the thing that we all have to be aware of is we run like our laptops. You know, there's a lot of background processing going on all the time. And no matter, you know, how much yoga and meditation and beautiful music we nowadays have on the radios and YouTube and things that we can access, the reality is that most of us are still very unconscious of our own processes. And when you go on a journey to discover your own processes, that's even hard. It's difficult to discover, well, what is it that's jading my thinking? And, you know, is it my childhood experience or some trauma that I had? So even when you're focusing on it, it's hard. But if you're not aware of it, certainly we're incredibly unconscious with all these background processing and processes that are going on. So what we do in a situation like this is we don't have our normal escape hatches, like you say, and then we turn on our partner in terms of the fact that, you know, we think we now have a very heightened clarity of who that person is because we're so upfront and personal with them. But it's a distorted view because it's in a very specific context. So it's very important during this time for people to have had clear delineation of space and to have had some demarcations put in place. But I just find that a lot of people didn't actually have the physical space or the consciousness to achieve that. So our normal escape routes that just, you know, weren't accessible to us.
What do you say to those who don't have that physical space? I mean, I'm thinking about, for example, people who live in multi-generational households, which I think represents quite a large part of South African population, in extended families and the like, where you don't have the luxury of, you know, moving by the whim of your emotions. There's duty, there's intertwined family, and maybe even financially there's no room for us to either spread out in the unit or find a new starting point.
Yeah, I mean, the physical reality of a lot of people was, you know, I mean, yeah, even just financially, you know, some people, a lot of people lost their jobs and their major line of income. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could escape into something like just sitting and eating something delicious. But if your finances are also impinged, then even that little luxury is, you know, is not afforded to you. Mm-hmm. I'm a great follower of my guru, Esther Perel. And she says physical space is limited, but our imaginative capacities are infinite. But I think in our multi-generational households, even that, you know, even your imagination is really stretched to the absolute limit. There is only so much you can do. Of course, the moment we could get out, that was a huge blessing. And I don't think I've ever seen as many people pounding the pavements in South Africa as during that, after that initial lockdown, as when we were actually allowed to walk.
There are neighborhoods where it started for the first time. I'd be curious to know from you, what about those couples that were actually brought together by lockdown? I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, I have a few friends who got engaged by the end of lockdown. It kind of affirmed their ability to get through the hardships. It was almost like their own adventure reality show, figuring out that they're the best partners for each other in the worst.
Well, it's interesting what happens in times of adversity. You know, these people have different reactions. And we saw that at the beginning of lockdown. You know, we had the people who were buying and stockpiling. We had the people who were fixing and problem solving. We had logical, we had irrational reactions. So in the same way, in terms of facing the adversity in a new relationship context, there would be those who grabbed that opportunity because they needed close proximity to someone, because they actually needed to feel safe and grounded in the world, because relationally, we want to feel rooted. So we had that. And, you know, if you listen to Ian Kerner, who's a relationship expert in the US, he says that it was actually a blessing for a lot of couples who were dating and would have gone through a lot of different stages, now had the opportunity because sanction was lifted. Social sanction on saying, oh, well, you know, you've seen him this week, you probably shouldn't see him next week, fell away. Right. Because, you know, if you'd made a decision to share a space, then, well, you were going to see each other all the time. So suddenly it gave those people the permission slip to just indulge and actually really get to know each other in depth rather quickly.
I want to ask a controversial question then. In light of what you said about those couples that took the opportunity to part ways, or, you know, and in terms of what you're saying, in terms of finding a person to hang on to, is it possible that those who created firmer bonds under lockdown have done so because it was in these heightened conditions, that it's not a steady state decision, and that maybe in a normalized world, it might not hold true?
You know, we could also argue that we're never going to have a normalized world again, and maybe what they've forged, you know, in the fire of what is going to become our future, what they are doing is more in line with the future than those of us who had relationships forged in different ways outside of the pandemic.
Okay, that's fair enough. Just wanted to make sure, you know, they always say things forged, you know, iron that is melted in trauma sometimes is melted askew. Okay, so that's good. And what else, what other advice would you give to those of us who are, or all of us, either navigating a split on the back of this pandemic, or trying to navigate these early stages of relationships at this particular time? I mean, there's got to be some kind of a fail-safe method to take a step back, look at the relationship, and I don't know, is it meditate? What's your best advice?
I'm very glad you've asked me this question, Rufiwe, because, you know, if I could give a shout out to all the couples out there, especially those that have been together for a long time, especially those where there are children involved, I would just say to them, look, you know, when your trusted car is breaking down, you know, it's so easy to go and see a flashy new car and think, well, you know, that's the answer. But the reality is that the other car served you well, and you could probably do very well conservatively to save money and stick with that car. And that might sound a little bit harsh in terms of relationships, but I think people are being very harsh with each other, thinking, I'll just trade one for the other. I think that we've been very in each other's faces, and I would recommend people give each other space, maybe try alternative things, and not let go of their old relationships quite so quickly. Hold on a bit, get a bit of context, and ride out this wave and the next wave, and let's see where we are in a year or two. Be a little bit patient and maybe give a breakup more time than you would have in the past. Take it slowly. Like you say, take a step back.
I like that. Thank you so much. There's always hope here. Dr. Stephanie Seebohagen, thank you for that very sage advice.